Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Good morning. Welcome to South Britain Congregational Church. Today's reading is from Acts chapter 2, 1 through 15, the coming of the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from the heaven a sound like a mighty rush of wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in each other's tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretan and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking, saying, "They are filled with the new wine." Peter's sermon at Pentecost. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea, all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my word. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day."
Welcome to South Britain Congregational Church. We're so glad you're here and joining us for service. Will you join me in the spirit of prayer? Dear God, we do thank you for this time together. We thank you for this Pentecost Sunday, the birthday of the church. And we just ask for your love and your care. Open our hearts and our minds as we seek after you. We ask in your Son's name, amen. In high school, my closest friends and I were going through our other friend's garage. It was full of lots of interesting things. I think we were supposed to be cleaning it or something like that, but that was not happening when you had five close high school friends together. So as we found eclectic things, we'd stop and share with each other, say, "Oh, look what I found." But then we stumbled upon the most amazing thing. This might be one of the greatest discoveries of my life to this day. We found a bicycle, but it wasn't just a bicycle. It had a motor attached. We found a late 70s, early 80s moped. It was tannish color. Now, after the initial shock and excitement, the key question arose to all of us. We know we can ride it as a bicycle, but does the motor still work? Does it still have power? And let me tell you, that hog had some juice left in it. We rode up and down the street at the breakneck speed of 10 to 15 miles per hour for about 10 minutes until it ran out of gas. But those 10 minutes were unbelievably sweet. The question is the same for us as it was for my friends on that fateful day. Instead of a moped, does something else have energy left? So we wonder together, does Pentecost, this birthday of the church, does it have any power left, any juice left in the tank? After all this time, after thousands of years, and under the current circumstances that we find ourselves. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, it does. It does, did, and does have great power. It has the power to break down barriers between each other. And when it breaks down those barriers, it has the power to give us a deeper connection to one another, so that ultimately we can be inspired and energized to go out and do what God has for us. So it has the power to break barriers, bind us together, and inspire us to act. The breaking of barriers. I don't need to tell you, but we as humans are really good at creating barriers. We like to focus in on differences that exist between us. Some part of us, something in our psychological makeup, it tells us to like barriers. We like them because barriers keep others out. They keep us in. We figure that they keep us safe. That walls and barriers in our life are not just good ideas, but necessary and healthy. As it says in the well-known poem by Robert Frost, Mending Wall, the neighbor's mantra over and over is, good fences make good neighbors. One of the ideas in that poem for that one neighbor is that having a good barrier, having a good boundary is crucial to thriving in relationship with each other and others. Summing it up is the idea, the more guarded, the healthier the relationship. So why do we have this mentality? Why do we have the us and them, as the philosopher Martin Buber calls it? There is the us who are on this side, who agree, who get it, and the them who is not the us, different from the us, as different as can be. We take on this way of thinking because it's easier to focus on differences. It's more comfortable. It's easier for us to keep each other in boxes with labels than to do the hard work of breaking down the barriers and getting to know each other more. If we keep people labeled and boxed, we know what to do with them. We know how they fit into the world as we understand it. We do have to change. We do not have to change if everything and everyone fits into the place we've created for them. I know I had this growing up, and I'm sure that you did in some parts of your life too. In Bangor, Maine, if you don't know, there's an east side and a west side. And do you know which side is the better side? The east side. And do you know why? Because I'm from the east side. Now, I'm just kidding in case my friends who are west siders of Bangor are watching this video. But I think you get what I mean. It might be the next town or a different state or a different country, different religion, different sports team. But we all have these ideas of us and them. Now, we may think, but we live in a world that is so different from the book of Acts. We have lots of cultures, ideas mixing together. We live in America, the melting pot of all these different cultures and people. But Jesus' time in Jerusalem, in the time of this story in Acts, you want to talk about multi-ethnic and multicultural. It was just as much, if not more so. In this passage, the writer Luke lists a bunch of these, and this is always really hard when you have to have certain people reading because like some names are harder than others. And so this passage is one of those hard passages because it lists all the names of the people that the apostles run into and are speaking their language. The Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, the Mesopotamians, Judeans, Cappadocians, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya, Liba belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jew, proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. All these different groups with different languages, different cultural practices, different worldviews. And then this event, Pentecost, happens. And the Holy Spirit all of a sudden gives the apostles the ability to speak the language of the people around them. In that moment, in that instant, the barriers are broken of ethnicity, of language, of culture. Poof, they're gone, burned away by the fire of the Holy Spirit. What was once a stumbling block, what was once a barrier, now is no longer a factor in terms of them knowing God and God's great love for them. The power of this is that these distinctions and barriers are no longer important for us either in the modern church. Paul says it this way in Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, free nor slave, male nor female, all are one in Christ Jesus. The power of Pentecost that we need to tap into right now rests in our intentionality of being a place that does not focus on barriers of difference. That whether you're from Danbury or California, North Africa, Northern New England, New Haven, or New Orleans, no matter what context or culture we're raised in, the cross and God's great love and inbreaking into the world on Pentecost has broken any barrier that might divide us. We can always grow in this. We as a church can always grow in this idea. When the church building opens up again, and it will, we will continue to be a place where no matter who you are welcome here. We must keep allowing room for the Holy Spirit to do this work amongst us. the person of the Trinity who is constantly breaking down things that we sometimes let divide us, like ethnicity, age, gender, sexual orientation, political views, or the most important one, shopping preferences. It doesn't matter if you shop Costco or BJ's, Walmart or Target, all are welcome here. We need to focus in and help each other to know and embrace the power of the resurrection, and know in any and all divisions and barriers that stand between us loving each other, they don't matter. The powerful thing was, in this passage, God didn't make it so that all the people in Jerusalem could speak Aramaic or Hebrew, but God gave the power to the apostles to speak into the language of each person. We, like God, need to be the ones to be reaching out, being intentional about breaking down these arbitrary barriers that divide us. The onus rests on us. We have the power to do just that, and we just need to plug in. The power of breaking down barriers is one of the powers of Pentecost, but another one is the power to bind us together. Peter, in this passage, gives a long sermon after the part that we've read for this morning. But if you read it carefully, it says the 11 others stood with him when he spoke. This Peter, as we have said, is the same one who denied Jesus three times. And these are the same disciples who, after Jesus dies and the resurrection, are hiding in an upper room, terrified that they're going to be arrested, terrified that they're going to be imprisoned. This is the same group now standing before huge groups of people proclaiming God's great love for the world. Now, if God didn't break down the barriers between us, we wouldn't be able to make this community of faith work. But because God did, then we can be bound together in new and powerful ways. Now, do we get rid of all the things that we are? No, we're not robots who think, believe, and say the same things. Now, that would be a boring place, a boring group to be a part of. The differences do not just go away, but they no longer hinder our ability to live and work together. We really need differences in order to be the best possible church that we can be. We need the different perspectives, the different views, the experiences, and the passions of each person to be the best church that we can be. The Holy Spirit is able to do this here in this community. Think of people from the church that you know. If you have a copy of the directory, look through that. Everyone's really different. If we look carefully, we have more differences than similarities. Yet being so different, how does the Holy Spirit bind us? How are we connected so strongly? In this passage from Acts, not only were the divisions broken down, but importantly and lovingly, there's one thing that they have in common, that we have in common, that gets rid of all the differences. This one commonality is greater than the sum of all differences. That is, that we're forgiven, that we are loved. This commonality surpasses and supersedes any and all differences. The concept and truth that we are part of this family of God and its goals, these are greater than anything that could divide us. As the saying goes, obstacles are the things you see when you take your eyes off the prize. Differences and barriers are the obstacles that we see when we take our eyes off the prize, which is God's great love for us and for everyone. This can be understood, I think, in terms of being grateful or gratitude. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, "Thankfulness is the foundation and the strength of any community rooted and grounded in Jesus." That the foundation is thankfulness. When we live with an attitude of gratitude, we intersect with one another on an altruistic level. The question is no longer, what do I need, but becomes, without hesitation, what do we need? How do we make this work? The more aware of God and God's power in our life, the more and more gratitude we have. There is a call that speaks to us on the human level, a level where we're all connected, a frequency that we're all tuned into. This makes us connected and bound in a way that is beyond our understanding. It's supernatural. We are brothers and sisters grafted into the family of God. All of a sudden, when we're in the power of the Holy Spirit, we have much more in common than we knew, or they just become clearer and the differences get more and more foggy, or we just don't care so much about those things, those differences, and we're more busy, more in tune to caring for each other. When we allow God's power to work on our hearts and we cultivate gratitude, we think more of the other person and their needs. So being the church is about being bound together, committed to each other, sometimes too close for comfort. We as a community are supposed to border on discomfort on how comfortable we are, how closely knit we are, how well we care for each other. When someone visits the church, our goal should be for them to walk away and say, wow, I'm not sure about anything else, but I do know those people really care about each other. Now, this takes vulnerability, which is hard but needed. And as the verse from the hymn, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds, says, we share each other's woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. We too rely on the power of Pentecost and the Holy Spirit, but we also rely on each other. We need to be more and more ourselves and more close to one another. This is the way that the Holy Spirit binds us. We live daily into the truth of God's love for us, and that allows us to love others, to love each other. We are bound because we are family. So that Pentecost has the power to break down any barriers that might come up to get in the way, and it binds us together. That has the power of the great glue. And the last one is that we tap into the power and it inspires us into action. As the barriers are broken down by God for good and we are bound to each other, God doesn't leave us in a lurch or bereft of a sense of meaning or purpose. God gives us something greater to be a part of. We don't get to say what is the meaning or purpose of our life when we sign on to following Jesus. As the Acts passage says, the people from all over the world, in response to this powerful event, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. This removal of barriers and the unity that we gain gives us the power and the inspiration to get busy. We got to tell everyone the mighty works of God. Let them know that God loves them, that they have value, that though they are suffering, they are not alone. And though it's not happening to me, though it's happening to you, it affects me. As the Christian rap group DC Talk says, you know, in their song, I don't know if anybody likes Christian rap, but love is a verb. That all this leads us into action. The first Pentecost inspired, it spurred the followers of Jesus into action. And it was just the beginning. Pentecost reminds us of the all-important call to let people know that God loves them, and this community of faith with God as the center is not just a place for them, but the place for them. We need to let this be an inspiration to us. It's so fitting because the word inspire comes from the root to breathe in. Wind, spirit, breath are all the same word in Hebrew. The Holy Spirit is the divine breath, the divine wind that inspires us into movement. We need to be inspired to breathe life into the community that we call home. How do we do this? We must continue to always define ourselves by not what we aren't, but who we are. What our values are important to us? What are the needs that we see all around us and that we can do something about? We always remember why we do what we do. We know what we need to be doing. We see the needs, and we just need to be inspired into action. Brothers and sisters, let us be inspired this week to act on it. Even in small ways, if God touches your heart to call someone, send a letter, or buy something and have it shipped to someone's house. Trust the inspiration. Trust that God is leading you to show love for this person. If you're at the store and you're buying something, you know, leave extra money and say, whoever comes in next, let this be something that blesses them. If we see the need, let's talk about it. Let's be in touch with each other and say, I see this need. I'm not sure how I can meet it, but maybe together, or you have an idea of how we can do it. As we can see from this, Pentecost still has power, and we know this. And that's why we're tuning in. That's why we are hopefully watching this service. We need to be in community because that's where the power can be found. God knew we would need each other. We would need the church. God made it that the Holy Spirit works through the church. The institution God chose to release the holy power of the spirit of the holy power, of the Holy Spirit's power for the long haul. It's the thing that God chose to use to make things happen. And we know the church through all this time is not the building, right? We are the church, like the little kid's song, like I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. And so no matter what's happening, we continue to be the church. Through worship, fellowship, and service, Christians are provided with staying power for over 2,000 years. And like the Energizer Bunny, this power keeps going and going. We came here to this place with one another to tap into the energy, and watching this together is tapping into this energy. We do this and do all of our spiritual practices to plug in. We plug in like smartphones, laptops, electric cars. Then we go out into the world to connect and remove divisions. We look at the worship service as a gas station, whether our tanks are empty or half full or just need to be topped off. That's the purpose for why we do what we do. A word of warning, though, in spite of all these different things, the reaction of people, like there still will be people who think it's crazy that that people go to church or that you think that this is important. You know, in this passage, they said, oh, these guys are drunk. They must not know, you know, they don't know what's going on. And so we always remember that sometimes people are just not going to buy in. People aren't going to believe. But all we can do is continue to trust in the promises of God and plug in, brothers and sisters. Pentecost still has juice. Catch the vision of no barriers, breaking down barriers, only bridges of love, of understanding, of communication between us. And let us be closely knit, so much so, and inspired to go out and do the little things that are the things that will change the world. God be with you all.